and verse 1, a very familiar passage of Scripture, Psalm 122 and verse 1. And as my conversation with the Lord there alluded to, as we are between the book of Psalms and Proverbs, we are stuck between radiant worship, beautiful words, just a love for God proven time in and time again, and another book of wisdom. And folks, that is a church service in a nutshell. That is the purpose of the congregation gathering, the called out assembly, assembling, that we would worship and receive knowledge and wisdom. And every church must continue to improve, which means as we see problems, we address them. Now, the problem is that we tend to get in the flesh about it. Well, what we need to do is this. What do you mean we need to do that? What's the problem? Are you saying I didn't do it well enough? Blah, 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 blah. Folks, that shouldn't be our attitude in our heart. It's this. Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, what's the best way to do it? And I'll tell you this. We should never be satisfied with just one way of doing things. Once you get good at something, once we got things figured out, what can we do? We dial it in tighter. We get a little better at it. If there are things that we know don't work, we avoid it, absolutely. But as we see things going well, we should approach them better. The psalm that you're looking at, again, as you're looking, you go, okay, I know this verse. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There was a man, he's an Anglican, so most of what he had to say wasn't right. But I like this thing that he had to say. It says, to worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God. To feed the mind with the truth of God. To purge the imagination by the beauty of God. To open the heart to the Lord, open the heart to the love of God, and to devote the will to the purpose of God. If there is anything we're doing, if there's a list we're keeping track of, folks, I think that sums it up perfectly. What should my worship be? Holy and entirely affected by the holiness of God. Now that word holiness, it is not common. There's certain things that are common. When I walk down to the Dollar General or I go into a grocery store and I walk through the parking lot, what do you expect to see in the parking lot of a drugstore or grocery store or whatever have you? Filth and garbage. Why? Because that's how people treat it. They don't care. I remember walking up to the grocery store in 2020. What did you see all over the place? Gloves and masks. Gloves and masks. Protect the world, or protect our health, destroy the environment. Just gloves and masks everywhere. Why? Because they treated the place like common trash. You walk into the house of the Lord. What should it be treated as? The house of the Lord. We ought to make sure that the parking lot is good. We ought to make sure that how we treat the thing is good. Why? Because that's the house of the Lord and it's good. Well, brother, the church building isn't the temple. He dwells within us. So you're saying we're going to get together in a property that belongs to Him and we're going to treat it like it's common. By all means, let's rent out the Knights of Columbus and sell this thing. No, this is here for a distinct purpose. That is for the gathering of God's children, for the worshiping of His name and the teaching of His holy book. We treat it with respect. When there are repairs, we do them. When there are things that we know could cause a problem, we don't do them. I heard of a church, we had an all-nighter in the church, and they had a shaving cream fight right there in the middle of the auditorium. Shame on you. Just my opinion. Oh, but the kids had a good time. Did you know you could have a good time without destroying what belongs to God? Just a thought. I've been working with kids almost all my life. Now I have them. I'm not even entirely sure I grew up from being one. I know a thousand, if I know any, ways to have fun with a group of kids that does not involve destroying anything. And we walk through and we see certain things, and I know how some of you are. It happens. You come into the church and you'll see some weeds over here, and I can't believe there's weeds over there, and that bothers me so much. Well, you're no longer impressed by the holiness of God. You're angry about some nature. Well, I can't believe this is dirty. I can't believe that's dirty. Let me ask you, do you know where the Clorox wipes are? All these bugs over here in the windowsill. Ask me. That's me. I'm sorry if I'm talking about anybody. Bugs in the windowsill. It got to the point I said at one time my kids started getting the shop vac and sucking them up. Pastor, do you know where the shop vac is? Danielle and I, we went through today and we just kind of were checking on things. And that was roughly when we started to realize she wasn't feeling so good. Pray for her. She's got a fever. But just going through, checking on things and counting this and counting that, and you come across something, and you'll see every now and then when y'all are putting things away, you'll bundle them up, and here's how many are here, and we'll got this all wrapped up so no dust gets in. That is the way the Lord's business should be conducted. Sitting there, we're counting toilet bowl cleaner. It's lined up perfectly like we're at the grocery store. Somebody's boss, brother, one of your bosses down there at Kroger would be super glad at how some people put things away in this church. People out in the stock floor, they'll just be like, I wish they could do that. Perfect. That's the way God's house should be. When we come into worship, the holiness of God ought to be apparent, and how we treat this building is a part of our respect for that holiness. Let me take you by the hand. Let's travel over to any Arabic mosque. And the brass and the silver and the fine metal shines and gleams. And the floors are scrubbed. They have no God whatsoever, yet they take so much care. Let's go over to a Buddhist temple. Let's go over to anywhere in India, China, Japan. Let's go see these beautiful landmarks where they come and they worship their stone gods. And you'll find some young priest scrubbing the ear out of Buddha. And there's no Buddha to care. Folks, when we approach the things that belong to God, let us treat it as though we know He is holy. When we rise in the morning, let our hearts be glad to say that we're going to the house of the Lord. Which means that it's not just the house that must be prepared. The flowers nice, the grass mowed, the carpet nicely vacuumed and brushed out, the bathrooms clean. Not just the building should be prepared for the holiness of God, but our temples should be prepared for the holiness of God. And if I am to wake up on Sunday morning with a heart glad and worshipful and ready to come into His house and get some business done, I'm going to have to work on this earlier than that. You know, I don't know if you remember trying to get young kids here to church, but man, you don't do anything for yourself on Sunday morning. Your clothes must already be thought of, because you're going to play the where are my shoes game. You're going to play the he stole my pants game. You're going to play the I don't want to go game. We've got this one every now and then where somebody, all of a sudden, they're struck with this disease where they could only take tiny steps. To which case, every now and then, I've got to remind them, it doesn't matter how old you are, Daddy can still carry you. I will tell you who it was. I did that to one of them. Just whoop. Put him in the car. I didn't know you could do that. Keep trying. Now I'm going to have to be in the basement up until the day they move out of the house just to keep it up, you know. Just... We're going.
So often you get out the door when you got kids, you don't even think about your own breakfast. All right, everybody got something good. Do you eat?
And so they're, oh, I don't know what I want to eat.
You're eating this.
I don't know if I want to eat that. Too bad, here we go.
I like this every now and then. We'll get to where we need to really go. And it's, I got up the night before, and I made a bunch of bags of dry cereal. And by the time I come up and we're ready to go and everybody's supposed to be dressed, who's got breakfast? And we're 5 minutes out the door and three hands go up and one hand doesn't. You're getting a dry bag of cereal. That's what you're getting. Enjoy. Can I have some milk with that? Absolutely not in the car. No. That's a sandwich bag, not a bowl. You need to prepare. Now, many of you, you've left those years behind. Praise the Lord. But that doesn't mean that you can wake up on Sunday morning and utter a quick prayer of, Lord, forgive me for the sins of the week. Rapidly prepare me to get there. Father, the mistakes and the abandonments and the apathy of my week are now your problem. Fix them in my 10-minute ride to the church. Repent of your sin before you come in. Have a heart that is right and prepared. Look over at your spouse and tell her or him that you're sorry for any squabbles or bitterments that are going on. Don't get mad at silly little things. Why? Because where you're going needs your utmost attention. Get into a fight on your way to McDonald's. Do it there. And as your pastor, I'd ask you not to, but if you're going to, do it on the way to McDonald's. Do it on the way down to the bowling alley. Don't you do it on the way here to the Lord's house. That we would be forgiving. That we would try to emulate, as we're looking at on Sunday nights now, the character of Christ in our lives. Not putting on a show, not having the need for a mask, but to show up having been right with God. Prepared to sing His praises. I do my best on a Sunday morning. We'll get the kids up here 5 minutes before start. So many of you, when you're coming in, you already hear some kids singing. We already got the mood set, man. I already got the mood set. Come on in. Here's what we're doing today. And what do? We open the Word. And there's a devotion. A devotion involves love. Where's it at? Can we truly say of ourselves, on any time it's time to come to church, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord? Or are we frustrated? Are we distracted? What we do when we come here is to quicken the mind or the conscience by the holiness of God. Walking in those doors ought to remind us the holiness of God. Your church membership ought to remind you of the holiness of God. Walking past the church covenant ought to remind you of the holiness of God. That book that sits in your lap that ought to be your best friend. Amen. Should remind you of the holiness of God. When we sing these songs, whether we know them exactly or not, right, song leaders? Doesn't it throw you every now and then? There's a couple songs like what Brother Charlie, there's a couple songs like that. I think I know how they start. I don't. And Brother Hugan used to get on me all the time. He'd sit over here. I have no idea what he was snapping for. I'd come back over. That's not right. That's not the right way to do it. We need to do it like this. When we sing these wonderful words, they ought to remind us not of ourselves. They should not be to satisfy us, but it should remind us of the holiness of God. Psalm 100 verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. How do we get there? We get there with singing. Come before Him with singing. Means I walk through that door already ready to worship.
worshiping already. Lord, what a beautiful day you gave us as we come in on Wednesday with the thunder booming. Isn't that some weird sounding thunder we had? Like, man, that was some wild thunder. Lord, thank you for that. Oh, look, Lord, there's no water in our basement. And if you came from Flat Rock, you'd appreciate that. We got a thing on the door for Church Mutual. Somebody slipped a card in there. I don't know if any of you set up an appointment for Church Mutual, but we missed it. Put his card in the front door. I'm just going to tell you this. I will never lead the church to go with Church Mutual. You want to know why? We had one flood in our basement at church. They canceled our policy. And it was flood insurance policy we had. So specifically, when we cash in the thing that we're paying you for, we can't have you anymore. Exactly. No, sir. So I come in. Oh, Lord, isn't it great that you kept the power on for us? Oh, God, you are so good in these things. I ain't got no piano player today. Lord, thank you for giving us men in the church that can sing. And people in the church who can help the men in the church who sing. Lord, thank you that we could come together. That we would come in with an eye on the holiness of God with the intent to worship. Verse 3 of Psalm 100. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Know who you are, know who God is, and revel in it. May you hear some people, well, we're so lowly, we're so down, we're so sad. And they almost get depressed about the difference between us and God. May you ought to be so glad. God made you. And yes, we can't even comprehend our God. But He loves you. And He made you. And we are grateful for the relationship that we have with Him. Verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And you know what? We need to be more grateful for that right there. That His mercy is everlasting, because some of us, we keep messing up. And we need to be grateful for the God we serve for still having patience and love and forgiveness for us. God has forgiven you more than you've forgiven anybody. I will guarantee you that. Verse 5, fear the Lord. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. We get so concerned about how long biblical education will be able to go on in this noxious climate. I know I get concerned about it. But you know who's going to preserve and continue to teach His word until there's no more generations to be had? He is. So don't you worry about it. You just keep teaching it. Don't you worry about it. You keep preserving it and preaching it and teaching it and doing what we're supposed to. You keep learning it. You keep sharing it. Because He will make sure that it endures. So when we come in, we are grateful, we are happy, we are glad. Our eyes are on God. We're considering His mercy, which means you should be far more merciful and far more loving towards each other and towards what we see out there. How could we sit there in the knowing that we are within the presence of God, standing in a place we have set aside for Him? How can we sit there and gossip in the pews and fight with each other and make weird comments about each other? How can we make off comments and mean comments and dirty comments? How can we do that? Knowing that God Himself dwells within us. It reminds us brings back into our thoughts the holiness of God. Which means everything we do here needs to be with the understanding that our God, He is holy. He is different. We see in there so much that must be done then. There can be no lies within the church. There can be no guile or tricks. There can be no condescension, no rudeness. Why? Because everything we do is in the presence of a holy God. And we serve a God who manages His expectations. That's one of the things that we learned in management training at work. How to manage expectations. Ron, I want you to do this in this apartment, and I'd like you to do it within the workday. So 8 hours, this is more than enough time. Please do that. You go in, and Ron's sleeping on the floor. So to manage expectations, we give Ron a reminder. Ron, don't fall asleep on the floor, but instead, these are the things you're supposed to do. Now, according to HR, I need you to sign that you have received these instructions and that you will follow them. And then I come in the next day and I find Ron sleeping on the floor again. Ron, this is a write-up. We're managing expectations. This is the expectation. Instead, you are napping. Here is this. Why? Because it is wrong to go up to a coworker and tell him that you are going to throw him out the window if you catch him sleeping again. We know God's expectations as a church. We're supposed to be managing those expectations. What are ways in which a church... Now, the book of Psalms, that's Old Testament. How does a church show its worship and its love to God? How does it show that we remember who He is and what's expected of us? I can think of two things right off the bat. Number one, the Lord's Supper. I'm going to tell you something. It's just us chickens here. There's a reason why we haven't done the Lord's Supper, and it's not because I've lost the recipe for the bread. And then when one was done, another one immediately showed up. That can't happen. That cannot happen. When we know the expectations of God, and we know what we have signed by entering into baptismal waters, coming forward for membership, we know what's expected of us, because that is the biggest church covenant I've ever seen. And we transgress that thing, what holiness can be within the congregation? What blessing can there be? None. So here we are with one way that we show the Lord, we remember, one way we worship the Lord, one way we show obedience to the Lord in the Lord's Supper. We can't do it. Why? Well, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm going to do it my own way. That's not good. It's not good. What's another way? Our corporate worship together. Our collaborated worship. We come in. We're feisty. We're angry. Why is this like that? Why has the kid got that going on? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? I don't understand why that's not getting done. And we sit in the church pews and we huff and we puff, and a song leader gets up and says, "All right, let's sing this song." And you're sitting there like you're angry at everybody. What about the holiness of God? What about our love for Him? It's too cold. It's too hot. We started too late. We started too soon. Why we got the kids up there? Why don't we have the kids up there more? We got this light on. We got that going on. Who turned this on? What worship is really going on? I didn't hear anything. What worship's going on? And yet we sit there and we wonder why. When the pastor gets up over the last couple months and he starts hitting things super hard, we wonder why.
We have to honor God. You can't honor God when we bring unholiness into the church. Everything we do needs to go back to pleasing God. Well, brother, why do we keep talking about money so much? Because it's His. It's His! We're sitting there, we're digging around, we're looking at stuff. Okay, well, what's going on with this? What's going on with that? I'll tell you what number one is. Again, just those chickens. It's tithes. Now, there's a bunch of other things we got to figure out too. But it's tithes. Tithes have gone down. I mean, let me tell you something. Back when Brother Titus was here, tithes were great. Y'all never had to think about it. And when Brother Gordon was here, tithes were great. You didn't have to think about it. Folks, the membership has shifted just a little bit in the last 30 or 40 years. That's what it is. Which means what for those of you who are good with a budget? You need one. You need one. Do we need to be pointing fingers and yelling and hooting and hollering? No. Just need to be good stewards. So we sat down, we're thinking, okay, well, how do we do this? And how much does it really cost to put on the conference? We'd like to know. Wouldn't you like to know? You come and you ask, Pastor, how much does it cost to put on the conference? We'd like to know. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to find out. How much does it cost us in a quarter to buy things like soap and to pay whatever fees we got to pay to do whatever it is we got to do? How much does that cost? What's a good breakdown of our electricity? We want to know. Why? Because this is God's. And it must be treated like it is holy. I've got some opinions on how we can fix things. Most of you ain't going to like it. But we got to figure out where we are before I start throwing that hammer. There's some adjustments that's got to be made. Why? Because this belongs to the Lord. Now here's what we can't also do. He's talking about money. We better panic. Brother Mark sends me over the quarterly report and I look at it before we have our meetings. Folks, I know I ain't got what we got. And you ain't, I don't know, maybe you do. But most folks ain't got what's in the what the church got. We're okay. The bills will be paid. We're good. But it's about holiness. It's about decency and order. So we can't panic. We can't freak out. We can't. So we're broke? Not by any American definition. So what is that? So who's messing up? You know, in these things, it's a complicated process. There's a lot of things we got to get a hold of. I'll tell you right now, my biggest theory right now, I think it's plastic forks. I'm just going to tell you right now, you all could go into the fellowship hall right now, fill your pockets with plastic forks. We wouldn't even notice. Well, whose fault is that? Well, it's easy. You buy a pack and nobody takes the knives. You buy a pack and nobody takes the knives. You buy a pack and nobody takes the knives. So we end up with, I think it was 500 some odd plastic knives. We could build a kayak. We fix it. Why? Because our God is holy. If there's contentions among us, what do? You fix it because our God is holy. We squabble like children and then wonder why we get in trouble. I got a guy in our family. Man, if anybody does anything to bother him, he's the loudest person in the house. Why do I always get in trouble? Because you're the only one I hear. Well, he started it. I go, let me tell you something. The first guy will almost always get away if there's a second guy. Why? Because the second guy is the one doing it when I walk in the room. That's what happens. I could prove you did it because I was there. Not that I let my kids get away with stuff. You know how I am. I tell you, the second guy always goes for it. So how do you fix it? Don't be the second guy. There you go. Well, they did this to me. Well, go. You better go do what God told you to do, because if you don't, you'll both be in trouble. How about that?
I've seen that happen in churches. Two people get into an argument, both of them just convinced they're right with God. God punishes both of them.
I don't know why this is happening to me. I know why that's happening to him. I just don't know what's happening to me. I don't know why good people got to suffer.
Silly. Forgive, get it right. Ask for forgiveness. Don't forget that. When we walk through those doors, we must walk in with a song in our hearts. Why? Because our business has been done with God long before we came in. We are entering into a holy place. We are entering in to give Him worship and glory. Why? Because we are mindful of Him. By the very beauty of Him, we are reminded how we should be by His holiness. We are reminded of how we should be, and we get to be there. That should strike us. I get to be there when that happens. So what does that mean? Now listen, I ain't picking. We all have a hard time to time. That means when we come in on time. That's hard. I know it's hard. Please, I'm not railing. And if you're sitting there going, he's talking about me, I'm talking about all of you, okay? I know who's late because I'm here an hour early. But guess what? Sometimes I'm not here an hour early and that bugs me. Sometimes I'm late. We got to be here on time. Remember that one Wednesday where I was supposed to be here? I was super late. I will never forget that for the rest of my days. I'm like, they are firing me tonight. I pulled up. Y'all had the sign. My first thought, looking at that sign, I'm like, that's wonderful. My second thought was, they're going to have to tear that down now. Get to church on time. And don't just get to church on time, because that's, you know, for some people that's easy enough. When it's just you or your wife or your husband or whatever, that's easy. I get it. Come to church in the right mind. And can I say this? Come to church like you're coming to church. Come to church like you're coming to church. Don't come to church in your garden clothes. Now listen, if you're down to the wire and that's all you got, you ain't got time, you get in here. I'm going to say nothing. But if you've got the time and you've got the wherewithal and you've got the threads to do it, show up like you'd show up somewhere where you're going to be dealing with somebody you respect. Now that varies, right? That varies depending on the person. But don't come in covered in stains when you had the opportunity to change. When you've got stuff that you could put on. So you're saying we got to go suit and tie? You know what? If that's your definition of respecting, if you'd put a suit and a tie to meet somebody, anybody else on this world, maybe. It chokes me. Does it? All right, well, don't wear the tie. Made by gay men anyway. I don't know. Look it up. Look it up. Go ahead. Fine. Don't wear a tie. All I got is blue jeans. Wear blue jeans. My great-grandfather, Papaw Roland, he was buried in the nicest pair of overalls he had. You want to know why he was buried in the overalls? That was all he had. And the overalls he wore, those were his church overalls. He never did work in those church overalls. If anything ever happened to his church overalls, they became his work overalls. And Papaw Roland went out and he bought a new pair of church overalls. Because that's all they could afford. Make sure it's nice. It does a lot right here. It's not for me. I look at you. I think y'all beautiful no matter what you're wearing. Even though I get to stare at you the entire time. Y'all think you're special because you could stare at me. I'm staring at y'all. I'm the only one who gets to do that. Sit up here for 45 some odd minutes and just judge what you're wearing. No, I'm kidding. Show up like you're dressing up to meet God. Show him respect. Again, the mindfulness of the holiness of God. Here's an idea. Show up in time to say hi. No one's going to take your pew. Look at how much pew we have left. We are not running out of seats today. Maybe one day. Today, not so much. Go say hi. There's other people in the church going through stuff too. Go say hi. We don't know how much time we have left with each other. Think about that. We talk about how time rolls on. We don't know how much time we got left. Stop and say hi. See how people are doing. Shake a hand. Ooh, take time to pray with each other. How about that? Wouldn't that be fun? Here's another one. Hang out for a little bit when church is over. Now, I get it. A lot of people got stuff to do, chores and whatever. I got to get home, got to get the kids to bed, got to handle the pets and the maybe a final report you got to do for work. I don't know what all you guys got to do. I get it, but just a little bit. Hey, how are you? Hey, pastor, is anything around here need doing? That's another thing we got to do. We got to take the projects around here seriously. If we know that there's issues within the building, let's let the people that know what they're doing handle it. People who know what they're doing, get in there. And I get that some people, you ain't got the bodies to do it anymore. I'm here. I require supervision, but I'm here. And if you have the ability to do the supervision, I got a body that works. And we got some young people in the church too. Every now and then, hey, is there anything I can do to help? Anything? I'd love to sit there and say, hey, listen, on Tuesday we're going to go and we're going to do this, and I'd like for you to come on by so you can learn how to do it. From mowing the lawn to making sure we got the proper equipment on things, let's take care of it. As much as I'd like to sit there and say that I have the ability to do it all, I'm sure you guys have noticed I've struggled to try to keep up with a lot of different things. And I've got all day to do it. There's limitations on me. And you go ahead and yes, Brother Mike, there's some things I try to do, and for the wildest reasons, it just don't work out. And I've come to the conclusion, I know it sounds like I'm being humble, I'm not. The Lord don't always bless the work of my hands when somebody else should be doing it. I've come to that conclusion in my short years here at this church. There are things I used to be able to do without thinking, and now no matter what, where'd that go? We're sitting there, him and I are sitting there, there was a seal sitting right there. Nobody came near it, no little birds came down and grabbed it. Just go. Well, what happened? I don't know. I've replaced stems on shut-off valves and sinks and whatever for years. Couldn't do it. I come to the conclusions because I'm not supposed to. Now, I'm a young man in this church. I'll continue to act like a young man in this church. I'm not saying anything about, well, I'm the pastor. I shouldn't have to do it. No, I will. But we all should have that mentality of this is my Lord's. The book of Matthew, when all the disciples were sitting there, and Jesus dropped the bomb on them, he says, one of you are going to betray me. Did you know everybody who asked called him Lord except for one? That's our buddy Judas. Didn't call him Lord. You'd be at the table, not treat Jesus Christ as your Lord. That's my Lord's house. Those are my Lord's flowers. Those are my Lord's bushes. That's my Lord's parking lot. Those are the switches. Those are the windowsills with the bugs in them. This belongs to the Lord. That's my problem. That everybody would come into the church and say, the cleanliness of the bathrooms, the orderliness of our supplies, everything is my problem because that's my God. And if he found it no problem whatsoever to come and be humiliated in the way that he was and then die the way he did and then come back to not a one of us sitting there waiting for him. I could pick up a toilet brush. I can come in with a glad heart. I can handle my sin and then my clothes long before I walk into his holiness. Well, brother, now wait a minute. Aren't I always within the presence of God? Shouldn't I always be acting like I'm holy? You're such a good student. Absolutely. You absolutely should. But if you're going to do it anywhere, you better be doing it here. In your home, in your car, in your play, in where work, whatever. You ought to be holy because Jesus Christ is there. Because the Lord dwells within you. You got the Holy Spirit inside of you. You ought to be holy in everything you do, mindful of it. But man, coming into church ought to remind you. Worship ought to remind you. It says bringing it to your conscience. So here's the question. How often when we walk through those doors can we repeat what we see in Psalm 100? Are we doing what we see in Psalm 100? And that's making a joyful noise unto the Lord. How are you? I tell you what, the wife this morning. And wives, by the way, I've never heard that. Please don't beat your husbands up tonight. I've never heard it. Just an illustration. But can we come in and God is good? If not, can I ask you to prepare yourself before you come in? I hate preaching like this, and I've been doing it so much lately because I think it's because I'm not afraid anymore. I think it's because I've gotten used to you. And I love you enough to tell you the truth, and I'm not so much afraid as I used to be of you getting upset at me doing it. But the fact of the matter is this, is I'm not sitting there laying lashing on people. I'm not sitting there trying to embarrass people. I'm not sitting there trying to hurt nobody. I'm sure everybody, if you're paying close enough attention, I'm sure I said something today that got on everybody. Because I know for a fact I got on myself. And if I can get on myself, I can get on you. But that's not my point to get on anybody. My point is simply this, let's all do what we should. Instead of us sitting there trying to figure out who's the rotten apple, instead of us sitting there trying to figure out who's the last one, there's a rotten egg, let us all say, that's how I want to come into the church. That's how I want to come into the church. I'll just tell you, that's how I want to come into the church. And not just on a Sunday or a Wednesday, that's how I want to come into the church when I come in just to do my study. I catch myself sometimes. I'll be talking to the insurance company. I'll be talking to somebody having nothing to do with the Lord. And I'll sit here for a good 20 minutes finishing a phone call. It has nothing to do with the Lord. And just affects my entire day. Just getting grumpy about something. I don't want to come in like that. I want to come in, Lord, what a beautiful day. Lord, thank you for this. Coming in already excited to be into his house. Even if you're picking bugs and killing wasps, taking water samples downtown, up on the roof, painting the steeple, out in the parking lot, picking up whatever random nonsense gets blown in or dropped. Whatever we do, we ought to desire, Lord, I want to come in clean, worshipful, and very mindful of your holiness. If we can do that, I mean, you want to talk about dialing in. You want to talk about having a great service. You want to talk about revival. Being mindful of the holiness of God when we approach the things that belong to him will be a fantastic first step. And we'll take in the next one next Wednesday, Lord willing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for dealing with us. And Father, I sit as a member and the pastor of a great church. A church that takes you seriously. A church that's been well taught. A church that from outward appearances has very little problems with unity and things like that. Father, I do not speak tonight to our shame, but to our encouragement, to our charge, that Lord, we would follow after you more because we are impressed and mindful of your holiness. That we would approach your business and handle your business knowing you are a holy and particular God who desires decency and order and obedience. Father, I just pray that you help us. Help us to be joyful when we come in. Help us to be impressed by your holiness. And Lord, if there be any sin that blinds us from this, I pray, Lord, you convict us of it and help us beat it. We couldn't do it without you anyway. So, Father, please help. We need you. We love you. We're grateful. And, Father, let us always be thinking about how wonderful you are. What a great lifestyle it is to know and serve you. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.